Hello, happy new year.
New year indeed.
Welcome to 2022, Shift Church in 2022.
Oh. Oh, I still can't get my head around that it is 2022 yet.
Definitely.
That does not make sense to me, does not compute.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, having enough trouble keeping track of what day it is, what with all these bank holidays and other things like that, and which day the bins go out. And we got that completely wrong last week. I'm hoping I got it right this week.
Yeah, hopefully it's tomorrow, right, Sean?
It is tomorrow, definitely.
even if you are with us and living in Telford, it might not be tomorrow for you. It's only us who live on Crescent Road. It's tomorrow and bits around here. So I can't claim for you. Anyway, hi, my name's Tim Carter. This is Shift Church from All Saints Wellington. And we're gathering together to look at the Bible, have a pray, have a bit of a think. You're really welcome to join us, whether you live in Telford or farther afield. And we've got Liz with us this evening. Say hello, Liz.
Hello. Hi, Liz.
And we've got Sean.
Sean.
Hi, Sean. And you might not even be with us this evening. You might be catching up on video or on podcast. That is the word I'm looking for. That's the whole idea of Shift Church. It shifts around to when we're able to engage with it, which is fab. And do, if you're with us live, join in the comments stream, say hello to each other, ask questions, comment. And if you're catching up another time, then drop us an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, to join in the conversation. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, lovely to see you guys on the stream. Hi to Charlotte and Becky. Hi to Nicola and Sue.
Hello,
that's everyone I can see so far, but I think there's a few more that I can't see the names of. But yeah, welcome everyone and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year indeed. So I thought we might start with a bit of a thought starter, either a story about stargazing or when you realised something and you suddenly kind of the penny dropped and it clicked with you. So just while you're thinking about that, I do put them on the stream if you've got a good idea. My favourite stargazing story is when I was in the Scouts, so I would have been 13 or 14, something like that. We went on a night hike about this time of year, probably, because there was definitely snow on the ground. And I can't remember exactly where it was. It might have been Licky Hills. Anyway, what I remember is we walked up into the hills. And there was snow on the ground and it was completely clear overhead, and the town in the valley, there was mist in the valley, so that was keeping all the light pollution down. So it was completely, and the just stars were fantastic. And then there was a meteor shower, so we lay on our back in the snow and watched all these shooting stars on this completely clear night just outside Birmingham. And it was absolutely beautiful.
Wow. That is lovely.
Stargazing story. What about you two? Anything?
Yeah, you haven't given us warning of this, so.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Story. Think on your feet, guys.
Okay, so I just remembered one that it was many years ago now. I was quite young, so many, many, many years ago. I was at a camp, like a Christian camp called Faith Camp. And it was so hot, we wanted to sleep outside the tent because the tent was too hot. And the stars were out, it was just a beautiful night. And as we just sort of laying our backs, looking up at the stars, it was like there was like a ring light all the way around the camp. And it was like, we still swear to this day that we could hear angels around. It was just, honestly, it was really otherworldly. But not just like you'd expect, like light pollution, but something really different. And I sound bonkers, but that was great. And it was the experience that I had, and that was the first one that sprang to mind. So,
Sean,
a similar thing, not stars, but the moon. Mm. I went to a long time ago. I went to South America to visit my family. And where it is very close to the equator. So the sun and the moon are very big in the sky because of it, where it is. So we went out for a walk one evening and it was really bright. And I hadn't realised that the moon was out, basically because the moon is so big, mm-hmm. that it lit the place up like it's almost like a spotlight. And it's really funny because walking along, you know, I said, why is it so bright? And they said, well, take a look over there. And there is the moon in full view. And it's like, okay. And it's just bizarre because I've never seen the moon that big, really.
Yeah.
Really good, though. So.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome. What country is that, Sean? What country are your family?
That was where my dad was born, a place called Guyana in South America.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So very, like I say, close to the equator and basically the sun and the moon are really, during the day, like massive. It's like, it's really weird. You've never seen anything like it, to be honest. Yeah. It's quite a sight to behold.
Wow.
So.
I don't think we've got any stories on the stream yet, but do add them.
That's right. Yeah. Stories of the heavens telling the glory of God. So. Yeah, just that gets our thought processes going tonight. We're going to share a psalm. I've got a bit of a video of a psalm just to get us in the mood and to help us to focus on God. So just as I prepare the video for that, I just encourage you, wherever you're doing, just take a breath. If you're out walking the dog or doing the washing up, whatever you're doing, just be aware of God's presence with you. And let's enjoy the words of this psalm. Here we go.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Mm. Oh, it's such a good psalm.
It is.
Such a good psalm.
Yeah. I'll put that in the link to that in the Facebook group a little bit later. So if you want to watch and listen to it again, it was Psalm 27. You can do that. Thanks to Man the Media for that. Great. So we're going to continue with our Bible passages for tonight. Who's reading first? Who's got the Isaiah reading?
It's me.
Crack on. Where are you reading from?
I'm reading Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 6. I'm reading from the International Version. The title of the passage is The Glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to you, to your light, and the kings the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes, look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on their hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, your camels of Midian and Ephraim, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. And Liz, what are you reading?
Oh, it's brilliant. That was my Bible reading this morning, actually, funnily enough.
Yeah, right.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah. I am reading Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, I think you said.
Yes, please.
Yeah. This is called The Magi Visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Yeah. Thank you. So, does anybody know what the posh name for this time of year in the church calendar is? Putting your hand up's no good for people who are listening on the podcast, Liz.
Well, I was waiting to see if anyone wanted to do it on stream, but they might be a bit, the live stream might be a bit behind. It's Epiphany.
It is Epiphany. Very good. I was going to say, as Liz says, do join in on the live stream. If you've got questions or comments or thoughts, I'm going to share some reflections on these readings, but do share them and we'll pick them up afterwards. So anyway, yes, we're celebrating Epiphany, which means revelation. It means being shown something. Because at Christmas we celebrate Jesus coming to earth, which is great, but it does leave us with a so what. And after Christmas we have Epiphany, which is when we celebrate the Magi coming to Jesus and seeing him as some of the first Gentiles to do so. And this would have happened probably a couple of years after Jesus was born. So the shepherds will all have gone home. They're probably living in Bethlehem, and Jesus was toddling around, and these guys turn up. So I thought we might this evening think about a couple of things. Firstly, what do we learn from this about how God reveals himself? And secondly, what can we learn from this about how we might respond to that? So we're concentrating on the Matthew reading. And first of all, we're going to think about how God reveals himself. The first thing is stars. We were talking about stars earlier, weren't we?
Yeah.
Now, these magi, they were looking at the stars. They were probably astrologers. And I don't want to suggest that astrology is a good thing. But they were God didn't wait for them to look where God wanted them to look before revealing something about himself to them. They were looking at the stars, so God revealed himself in the stars.
Yeah.
And so I think the first principle is that God very often meets us where we are, comes to us, and where we're looking, he'll put indicators and things to point us towards Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. So that happened. And then the Magi saw the sign and then they followed it and they ended up in Jerusalem. They came to Jerusalem and they said, "We saw his star when it rose and we've come to worship him." So they shared the knowledge they had with other people. Yeah. So they'd seen something, they'd followed it, and then they shared it with other people. So sometimes God reveals himself through other people. Herod and the chief priests found out about Jesus being born from the wise ones. And so sometimes we need to be open to the possibility that God might be saying something to us through other people. And actually, even people who we don't expect. Because if you'd asked the chief priests, "Oh, have these random astrologers from the East got anything interesting to say to you about God?"
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't have been up for that.
No.
But actually, God spoke to them and showed them something through unexpected people. And I wonder if we're ready for that. And then the chief priests did, and teachers of the law did something useful. They got their Bibles out. So they said, "Okay, well, let's take what we've heard from other people. Let's take what we've seen in nature, of what we've discovered something about God, and let's see what it says in the scripture." And the scripture says, "Well, yes, you're going in the right general direction, and here's a bit more information for you, some detail for you. So you've come to the right place, nearly the right place. Bethlehem's over there. That's where the Messiah is going to be born." And I think that's something about how God shows things to us. The Bible can confirm what we found out in other places and reassure us that it's right, but also give us specific direction. Say, "Okay, it's Bethlehem you need to be going to." Because the world around us, it's full of things which might spark an epiphany. We think we've discovered something about God. And that's good, but we also know that sometimes it might just be us having some bad cheese.
True.
And actually, we need something to test it against. A yardstick, if you like. How do we know? And one way to know is to see what God says about himself in the Bible. And that kind of puts a responsibility on us who are Christians, that actually, whatever else we can say negatively later about the chief priests and the teachers of the law, when somebody came to them a question and said, "What can you tell me about the Messiah?" they knew I'd look in their Bibles. And actually, are we ready if somebody comes to us and says, "Okay, I've heard something about Jesus," or "I've been looking at the stars, and I can't believe that all this is just by chance, and surely there must be a God who made all this." Are we ready to say, "Yeah, do you know what? And here's in the Bible where it says something about that and how we can get to know that God." Are we ready to do that well? That's not a guilt trip or anything. It's just like, okay, well, if we're going to be the kind of people who can help other people get the direction they need from the Bible, then let's spend some time in it. Let's read it. Let's study it. Let's do this. Let's talk about it. so that, not just for academic sake, but so that we can help other people journey towards Jesus. So the Magi were met where they were by God. They followed God's leading. They told other people about it on the way. They've tested it against scripture. And then last of all, what's the last bit of the Epiphany? There they go. They follow the star again. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They saw the child. And that is always the greatest revelation. That point of meeting with Jesus is always the greatest epiphany, because in Jesus, one of the whole points of Jesus coming to earth is so that we could meet the one who created us, who was rejected by us in our rebellion, who loved us so much that he came to earth, died on the cross and was raised to life, who now is enthroned in glory and is going to return one day. He calls us friends and co-workers. It's Jesus who ultimately shows us what God is like, because Jesus is God. He says, yeah. No one's seen God, but if you've seen Jesus, then you have seen God. And many of us have experienced that first meeting with Jesus. Sometimes it's at the end of a long journey, like the wise ones. Sometimes it's like in a bright flash, like Paul on the road to Damascus. Having had that first meeting, that kind of epiphany, then we now need to continue walking with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And actually, you never get to, even with Jesus, you don't get to know everything about them on their first meeting, even if there's a big bright flash of light and it's a great big epiphany. That kind of revelation continues as you get to know someone and walk with them and live with them. And there's more to get to know of Jesus. We can never know everything. I mean, we can never know everything about another human being, but I don't think we ever even know everything about ourselves.
True, yeah.
So how can we expect to know everything about Jesus? So yeah. It's a continual process of getting to know and receiving these revelations through other people, through scripture, through listening to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so that is, I think, what this chapter has to say about how God reveals God's self. But mm-hmm. What about the responses? What responses do we find here to an epiphany? Well, if we start with a negative one first. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed.
Yeah.
Disturbed.
Yeah.
It was a bit more than disturbed, wasn't he?
Well,
yeah, a little, yeah.
And in this bit, he says, go and make a careful search of the child so that when you find him, I may go and worship him too. And that seems okay. But then we didn't read
a complete lie, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. If we do read on in chapter 2, we discover that Herod had no intention of going to worship Jesus. When the Magi don't come back, he sends his soldiers to kill all the underlings in Bethlehem.
He must have been very threatened that he would kill a baby, because
yeah.
You know, it sounds a real bizarre one that he would go to that length, really. So he obviously believed that he must have believed that Jesus was the Messiah to go to that length to, you know, to kill all the babies and that.
Yeah, well, he was obviously a complete psycho as well, yeah. As, you know, just
yeah. At the very
least, jealous.
Jealous. Afraid of his own power, afraid of losing his own control, afraid of losing his influence. And to a certain extent, it's easy for us to say, it's not on the equivalent level of killing two-year-olds, so that is completely psycho. But I wonder if we kind of, one of the risks of saying, oh, well, complete psycho, is that we don't necessarily stop and think, okay, what about me?
We don't put ourselves in the story if we just write him off as too other to us.
Yeah. And what Herod was reacting to was Jesus being king. Jesus is Lord. He didn't want Jesus to be Lord. He didn't want Jesus to be king. And so then the question for me is, am I willing for Jesus to be Lord of my life? Not just my saviour and my rescuer and my provider and all those nice shiny things, but actually, am I willing for Jesus to be Lord and for me to be obedient to that and actually to give up influence and control and power? Are we happy for Jesus to be in charge? Are we willing for Jesus to be Lord? And that can be a lot more challenging. So that's perhaps the negative reaction. On the flip side, we've got the positive reaction of the Magi. And perhaps this is kind of, we can think about this in terms of the gifts they bring. So how many Magi were there?
We don't know.
Hey, trick question. We don't know. All we know is that they bought
Three gifts.
They bought gold, a frankincense, and myrrh.
What was that?
It's a bit Life of Brian, isn't that?
No, you're thinking of that old, was it the Lego Nativity?
Oh, yes, it was. It was the Lego Nativity. That was what myrrh
came from. Yes.
Anyway, sorry, distraction. Okay, so let's think about this. Gold, traditionally these are taken to representative of Jesus' kingship, godhood, and humanness. So gold for a king. And so the Magi bought their wealth and their money and their material stuff. And that the question for us is, in our response to Jesus and finding out who Jesus is, do we bring our stuff, our gold, our wealth, our money, particularly at Christmas when we've spent a load of time shopping and thinking, well, I get distracted when I'm shopping for other people. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I quite like that new gadget or that thing or whatever. Nothing intrinsically wrong with that, of having stuff God provides for us and gave us a good creation to enjoy, but are we willing to lay it down at Jesus' feet to bring our gold to Jesus in response? And frankincense or incense is something we use in worship. So it says they came to the house and they bowed down and worshipped him. In John's gospel, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well and talking about worship. He says, God is looking for worshippers who will worship in spirit and in truth. So as we come in worship to God, not just in our kind of gathered worship, but in our work worship, in our day-by-day worship, do we do it all in the power of the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit? Doing everything as if we're doing it for God. As I said earlier, we can't really get our heads around who Jesus is, even as we see him. It's only the Holy Spirit that even allows us to do so a little bit and to come and worship. So in spirit and in truth, I love the fact there are all these kind of different concepts in the word true. We talk about a joint being true or a note being true or physical things that have that are lined up correctly, and our physical bodies are really good at telling if something's in true or out of true, slightly not level or pitch just a little bit wrong. We're really good at being able to tell if something is true or not, and people around us are able to see if our lives are true, if the worship of our lives is the same as what we say with our mouths and the songs we sing on a Sunday. And God is looking for people who worship in truth with their whole lives and their whole beings, consistent in our worship. And then myrrh, which I will say properly this time, is an ointment used to anoint those who've died. And Jesus became human and subject to death so that we could be freed from our sin. But for us to be free from our sin, we need to repent of it. We need to turn away from it. We need to put it to death. So that we can have new life with Jesus. And so actually it seems to me that myrrh, it symbolizes Jesus' death, so that our repentance brings forgiveness, but also the fact that we put our sinful nature, the things that we prefer, our pride, our all that kind of stuff, put it to death and bury it. So Epiphany, funny word, we don't use it very much, just means God showing himself. And I hope this year, with all its uncertainties about what it was going to be like, we will find and see God in unexpected places. We will find out more about God as we listen to each other, as we read our Bibles, and as we listen to the Holy Spirit. And I hope that our response to that won't be rebellious pride, but we'll be repentant, that we'll worship in spirit and truth, and that we will wholeheartedly give all that we are and all that we have to our Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my little reflections. But do chip in on the stream or send us an email, and either stuff I've said or other things from the Bible passages that struck you. Oh, Sean, any thoughts?
No, I was thinking ahead, actually. I was just thinking that obviously the end of Epiphany is Lent. Is that right?
There's a little gap between, but yeah, it won't be long before it's Lent, before Easter.
Right, okay. Yeah, I don't know why that popped into my head. I just thought, that means Lent is the end of it kind of thing, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Liz, any thoughts?
I was finding it really helpful what you were saying about responses and thinking about the gold, frankincense and myrrh as helpful analogies of what we can bring to Jesus.
Yeah.
And how our, bringing our wealth before him and giving up our wealth before him is actually an act of worship. So they sort of merge into one another, don't they, the gifts and what we do. I was also thinking about, who we respond to. And you were talking about how Jesus is God revealed. So, but I was thinking what you're saying before about sudden moments of realization. And sometimes you suddenly have that realization that Jesus is the God of creation. Jesus created the universe. He was there at the start. And he was the one who crafted it all, all the galaxies, who flung all the stars into space. He was the one who was there, and paid all of it, and just that realization of that massive hugeness of who Jesus is, and that's who we're responding to. So it's not just responding to some kind of theoretical God in the sky, but a very real person, but who we know has always been there from before time. So I don't know, it's just a stream of consciousness, but just a moment for me there.
I think it's awesome that God wants to meet with us, and I think also we spend a lot of time wondering whether God is actually wanting to talk to us or communicate with us, and we don't believe it when he does. I think a lot of the time we think, oh, is that God? Is that really God telling me to do that, or revealing himself to him? Because we can't really get our head around the fact that God wants to talk to us and communicate with us, and he loves us that much. Mm. It's mind-blowing, really, isn't it?
It is. And that also reminds me of what you said about, you said that God reveals himself where we are, didn't you? Which is really helpful, because sometimes we get this whole thing and we think we have to go to a certain places or live a certain way for God to speak to us. But, God speaks to us where we are, and sometimes through unexpected things and unexpected people. And, you know, he runs out to, I was just thinking a story of the prodigal son, actually, where the father runs out to meet the son. He doesn't just wait for him in the house, but he runs out onto the road and kind of welcomes him with open arms. And I think, you know, that's what God does with us. He goes out to where we are.
Mm.
And that's very encouraging and very assuring for where we're
definitely, yeah,
feeling like we're not in the right place, or we're not really sure where we are, but God's still here with us, you know.
Mm. Yeah. And more so when people are, I feel that when, you know, like places like Africa, and, you know, where they don't have certain places, where they don't have so much materialism as we have, you hear stories how there's so many fantastic things that happen because they're able to focus more on God and listen to God, because they haven't got all the distractions that we've got, which is, you know, it's a lesson to learn, really, isn't it? That actually, you know, we need to maybe get rid of a lot of things that distract us from God, and try and put ourselves in a place where we can be more open, I guess. So, yeah, maybe that's something for 2022, isn't it? For us, or me, maybe, I don't know.
Bit of simplification. You have to be careful what you say on things like Shift Church, Sean, you see, because it's recorded now. So
we'll, yes.
Yeah. You're on
record. We'll come back to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've got a couple of thoughts here on the stream. So Michelle says, unbelievers often question me when I say Jesus is God, as they only understand that God is a creator and Jesus was a prophet and healer.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, isn't it? As we realise that we know that God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are all, you know, one essence, one God. But sometimes people have trouble kind of believing that or picking that up.
Yeah.
And Ali said that it really hit her too, that God speaks to us where we are and uses things that are familiar to us to speak to us.
Yeah, yeah. On that one about people thinking, oh, Jesus was a great teacher, but I'm not sure he was God.
Mm.
It strikes me that that's a little bit like trying to have your cake and eat it, because one of the things that Jesus taught was that he was God.
Yeah.
And so if Jesus was a great teacher, then he had to have been God, because that's one of the things he taught. And if you wasn't, then he wasn't a great teacher, because he was trying to teach something that wasn't true.
Yeah. So it goes back to that C.S. Lewis quote, is it liar, lunatic or Lord?
Something like that.
Yeah. Jesus was either a lying, or he was crazy, or he was actually Lord. And which one do we believe? We can't just say he's a great teacher without...
No, because the stuff he taught included...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't mean that we don't come across people who think that, but it just and very gently and winsomely just asking the question, well, hold on a minute, if you think he's a great teacher, what do you think about his teaching about this?
Mm.
See where that goes. Not to kind of try and score brownie points, but just to gently
let
people think things through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And... I think that thing about God's, I mean, Jesus himself, the whole incarnation is about Jesus coming to where we were. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What is it that the message translation, it's like the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Yeah. I love that. I really like that translation. You don't. It's near enough, though. It's dwelt among us, isn't it, in the proper... But I love the idea of it, you know, he moved right in where we are.
Yes. Pitched his tent is probably the closest literal translation.
Yeah, that's cool as well.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But yes. Yeah, the point being, I guess, is that is God coming to where we are. But we do need to still be testing stuff against scripture and testing it out with each other. Otherwise, we end up with all kinds of funny ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The definite. Yeah, I think that's really important, actually.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be damaging, actually, when people maybe say things to you and you might take them on, but if you test them against scripture, you realise it's not there. Like, I was thinking in my life, a lot of people have said to me over the years, oh, you don't have enough faith, you know, for healing. And when you look at how Jesus interacted with people, it was generally very gentle, and he really saw them, and he didn't go up to them and say, you don't have enough faith. You know, he did sort of commend them for their faith, but he didn't use those words, you don't have enough faith. And it's kind of testing it against scripture.
Yeah.
What Jesus was like and how he healed people has been really freeing to me. So that's just one example, but there's loads.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And you've got examples of people that gone the opposite way, where they haven't tested the spirit and they've listened to people. There was the, I'm getting a bit morbid now. I was saying about going to Guyana, and there was that story of, I think, was it Jim Brown, who was a prophet or a pastor, and they basically, the congregation followed him like sheep everywhere, lived, and, you know, they basically lived, ate and breathed is what he said was from God, and ended up basically dead because he told them that's what they should do. Rather than actually saying, actually, is it from God? They didn't do that. They just believed everything he said, and they will know more. And it was quite a famous story, actually. Yeah. Really, really sad, obviously, but, you know.
That's really scary, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep brain switched on.
Yeah. Michelle says it's crucial to check scripture and ask God directly and beware of false prophets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, thinking about this and being aware of what God's saying to us and how we respond to it, how do we take this home? How do we explore this with young people?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Any ideas? I mean, I think there's a little bit about modelling it.
Definitely.
And maybe exploring the scriptures with you know, families and with your friends and you know young people, if you've got them around the house. And, you know, I'm not very good at that myself, but, you know, exploring scriptures and saying, can we test this out and see what actually is said here. To get rid of those kind of damaging narratives we might hear.
Particularly if youngsters are having a kind of coming across stuff in school or other young people, the kind of, whether it's bullying or whatever, or people being horrible to them, that's putting negative stuff in their heads, actually helping them to hear the positive stuff in scripture and what God says about them is really important.
Ali says here, I think it's so important to check things out and have people we are accountable to, as it's so easy for us to make things fit what we want.
That's a good point.
That's really true.
But it's really horrible when people we're accountable to tells us off.
I know.
It's all very well having people you're accountable to, but then you go and say something to them, they say, not sure you got that right. And
you're like, I know.
It's good for you in the long run, but it's like,
That's how you know you can trust them, though, when they can tell you that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in favour of accountability in theory, just as long as it's other people being accountable to me and not me being accountable to other people.
That is not healthy.
No, dear. No, I know. Anyhow. Okay, some good thoughts there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know about other folk, but I have not yet been able to get excited about 2022 and the prospect of a new year or things like that. Maybe
No.
you out there are feeling different to me, and I hope so. But if you're a bit more like me and a bit kind of, oh, then
Yeah.
maybe some thoughts of looking for Jesus in unexpected places and being willing to see that, and some glimmers, looking out for those glimmers of gold in
Yeah.
the rough. Might help.
Yeah, that's what we need, isn't it? Because we've just been launched into a new year where all the news looks bad, and trying to find hope in that. But looking in the Bible and remembering who Jesus is, help us sort of look above that.
Yeah. So, thinking of that, we're going to have a bit of music, just so we can continue to reflect. And then I think, Sean, you lead in some prayers.
I
We'll
am,
get straight
yes.
into that from the music. If you've got things you'd like us to pray for, then do put it in the comment stream. Pray for each other in the comment stream. Or email us prayer requests. We'll pick them up in the week and next week. But let's have some music.
Fire in my heart.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We ask forgiveness for the times when we have not worshipped you and made your name holy, when we have not, when we've been caught up in the desire to have more. We pray that we may be open to hearing your voice and inspired to work for economic justice. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in hope that discrimination and prejudice will give way to welcoming all people to your banquet. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray that we may be generous both with our possessions and our gifts and live lives of solidarity. And forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. We pray that your spirit of reconciliation may be made real within us. And lead us not into temptation. We pray that we may work towards the common good, knowing that you are with us always. But deliver us from evil. We pray that we may have courage and conviction to act now to prevent further destruction of God's beautiful planet. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever. We ask forgiveness for the times that we have prevented others from flourishing, from reaching their full potential. We pray for a childlike spirit open to the wonder of creation and the diversity of peoples, since the glory of God is the whole of creation and the whole of humanity, fully alive. Amen.
Lord, I thank you that you reveal yourselves to us where we are, not where we'd like to be, but where we are. And Lord, I thank you that you see us and that you speak to us in language that we can understand. And Lord, I pray for all of us tonight here on the stream and for those listening later in the week. Lord, I really pray that we will all meet you where we are. And Lord, I want to pray for anyone who is feeling fearful in any way at the moment, whether because of COVID or anything else going on in the world or just in their lives, Lord. I really pray that you would speak to them within their fear and assure them that you are God and that you stand beside them and that you are with them. And Lord, I just pray for Danny on the stream and thank you so much that she's been able to eat a few very low fiber foods without causing an obstruction for the first time in 7 months this week. And Lord, we really pray for your healing on her and that will carry on and that she'll be able to keep on eating those foods. And I really pray, Lord, that you just put your hands on her and bring healing and health, Lord, and recovery. And I pray, Lord, for joy in this year for her. Amen.
It may be that as you're watching or listening, I was talking about that, many of us having had that experience, having met Jesus, you might be feeling like, I don't think I have met Jesus. Don't think that Jesus is Lord of my life, but I do want him to be. So if that's you, I'm going to pray for you now, and you might like to pray along with me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to earth so that we could meet you. I come to you now, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I choose to worship you. I want you to be my Lord. Thank you that you've forgiven me. Amen. And if you've prayed that tonight and you feel like you're meeting Jesus for the first time, then do let us know either on the stream or drop us an email so that we can continue to support you as you walk on with Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit. That'd be great. Is that good? Lovely to spend some time with you, Sean and Liz, and with those of you who've been with us on the stream and those of you catching up later. We are back next week. Yeah. And if you've got stuff in between that you want to catch up with or ask about, there's a Facebook group you can join. Yeah, just send me a Facebook message and I'll add you to it. That'd be great. Any last thoughts or questions, Liz?
There's just a couple of comments on the stream about how people think Shift Church is a great platform. It's really good that people can go online and listen to stuff about God, and it would appeal to young people. How online church has been a breakthrough in attracting younger people, which is great news. So just some comments about
Do share away, tell the world.
Yeah, it's really encouraging to
tell
hear.
Everybody.
Yes,
definitely. Yeah,
the more the merrier.
Yeah,
excellent. Anything else from you, Sean?
No, just I think that the just for people to remember that we must not think that God is not going to speak to us, because he will at any time, any point, anywhere. And we don't, as Liz said earlier, we don't have to do anything special or be in a special place, whatever. God wants to talk to us, and that's fantastic news, really. That's what's going through my head at the moment.
It is. That's a great thing to end on. So I'm not going to say anything else. I'm just going to say good night. God bless. Good night, Sean.
Good night, Sean.
Say good night, Liz.
Good night, Liz.
Good night, everybody. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.